I'm Jonathan Capehart here today for Leonard Lopate, and this is WNYC and WNYC.org. In the summer of 1983, Woody Harrelson and Frankie Hyman began a lifelong friendship while working together on a construction job in Houston. Now, almost 30 years later, they've written a very funny play loosely based on their experiences that summer called Bullet for Adolf. It just opened off-Broadway at New World Stages on West 50th Street with Mr. Harrelson directing, and I'm very happy that it's brought the two co-authors to the show today. Thanks very much for being here.
Thank you, Jonathan. Good to be here.
Yes.
So Woody, I'm going to start with you because you've had a very successful film career, two Oscar nominations, not to mention Cheers that everyone knows about. Is this the first play you've written, or at least the first to be produced in New York? And have you directed plays before?
Well, yes, this is the first play we've produced in New York, or that I've produced, and but I did direct before. I directed this play in Toronto, although, you know, it's changed quite a bit.
And I'm going to ask you about that in a bit.
And I also directed This Is Our Youth in Toronto as well.
And Frankie, what about you? Is this your first play, your first big writing gig?
Yeah, it's the first big writing gig.
And
it's good to be in New York.
Uh-huh. And what was, since this is your first big writing gig, I mean, was it what you thought it was, the process, getting it from the two of you working together, getting it down on paper, finding the actors, all of that? Is it what you thought it would be, harder, easier?
I don't think it's ever what you think it would be, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's been great. It's been fulfilling. It's been, you know, it's been a growing process. It's been alive. It's been fun.
Mm-hmm.
I've been laughing a lot.
Well, you should. The play is funny.
Yes, it is.
So talk about how did the two of you meet? Did you just happen to be in Houston working on the same construction project?
Yeah, I'll tell that story. Mm-hmm. All right. I was working for these guys, Houston bricklayers. Jurgen was his name, and he was feared by everybody, and I'm on the scaffold one day, 10 o'clock in the morning, and Jurgen is down below, and he's in the thick German accent, and he's cursing somebody out. And it's 10 o'clock. We get there at 8, and it's, you know, and when he comes up for air, I hear this easy, slow voice come slide in and say, "Jurgen, you know, I'm usually the first one here and the last one to leave," and that was Woody, and it was fearless, and so I liked him immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And we hit it off that first day. That's how we met.
Does that story jive with your recollection of how you met Woody?
Yeah, I mean, we did meet on a construction site. I don't remember that specific time Jurgen yelling at me because it happened quite a lot. I do remember meeting Frankie the first day, and we went to lunch, and we had a great talk, and then, we got to be better and better friends, and then I told him if he wanted to come stay over at the place that we were staying, me and my buddy Clint, that he could come, you know, be our roommate, and that really was when the summer kicked into high gear. We had a lot of time, good times hanging out together.
So how old were you, each of you, at the time? Because Frankie... You will, there's a 10
Frank,
year,
Frank
there's
is a, never going to tell you his age.
Well, there's a 10 year, there's a 10 year age difference.
No, that's not even that doesn't necessarily have to be accurate either. But
the question I'm getting to is, I mean, you're very different people. And so why do you think you two hit it off so quickly? I mean, you go to lunch and the next thing you know, you become roommates. You're not only working together and having lunch, but you become roommates, and then, as you said, a lot of fun stuff happened.
Well, it was fun stuff. I mean, we started off, you know, I mean, I was in the Fifth Ward, and Woody offered to rent me a room in that house that they were staying in. I was more than happy to do that, and that began that journey,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so it was a fun trip from then on.
Go ahead, Woody.
Well, yeah, we rented him a room, but he never paid for it.
Well, actually, I
don't think that's important to the story, of course, but it's important to me that you know that.
But I did pay the first rent. You paid the first month. Well, let's get it straight then. It's obviously important to me that
He was in that room for 5 or 6 months, and he paid a total of $100.
Jesus Christ.
Let's let this out.
Well, do you want the whole story out?
I
want
to hear your version.
Okay, well, I mean, this is a 45-minute hour. Anyway, so you've got Frankie. You've got Zach, who sounds and looks a lot like Woody. You've mentioned Clint, who's also in the play. There's another character called Dago Czech, because he's half Italian and half Czech. And then there's Jurgen, who's also in the play. Give a brief rundown of the plot so that everyone is up to speed on what's going on here.
Well, this is an unusual play in the sense that the whole first act is spent kind of setting up the people getting to know each other, meeting each other for the first time, creating relationships. And it's not really to the end of the first act that you have the inciting incident and mm-hmm. that brings the plot into, full power. Which, the plot really plays out in the second act. And what it is there's a theft of an artifact, a World War II artifact, that eventually creates kind of a whodunit for the second half.
And I'm not giving anything away if I say the name of the play is Bullet for Adolf. So the World War II artifact that is goes missing is a gun that was used in an assassination attempt on Adolf Hitler, and it jammed, so the bullet's still in. So this is a major historical artifact. And that's all in the first act, so I haven't given anything away, or have I?
No, I guess that's fair.
I think you could.
And so how true to life is the play to what actually happened that summer in Houston when you guys were there?
Well, the play is very true to life in terms of all the relationships and the people and a lot of the stuff that happens. But the plot itself, that didn't happen. We didn't have a plot, so we had to impose one on this play.
So basically what we have here is a lot of great characters. Zach, Frankie, Clint, Jurgen, Bettina, all of these folks. And you figured let's create something. Which one of you came up with the idea of the World War II artifact as being the focal point?
Well, I had heard that story from someone that I knew in Northern California. It was a real the story that's in this really did happen, that gun really does exist, and the person who told the story has the gun in Northern California, the Luger.
I'm Jonathan Capehart in today for Leonard Lopate, and I'm speaking with Woody Harrelson and Frankie Hyman about their lifelong friendship, but also about their new off-Broadway play called Bullet for Adolf. So after that summer in Houston, you guys went your separate ways. Woody, you came here to New York afterwards.
Yeah.
And Frankie, where did you go after Houston?
Back to New York.
You also came back to New York. And did you stay in touch after leaving Houston and both being in New York, or was it one of those?
By way of TV, I'm watching them on TV, yeah.
And so what was while he was doing Cheers and the movies that happened, what were you doing at the time?
Not a lot. I was living in the darker side of life, mm-hmm. Not too dark, but dark enough. I'll say that much.
And so then how
so he got on Jay Leno. Got on Jay Leno. And he asked if anyone knew me, Frankie Hyman, to get in contact with him. And my brother saw it, and he contacted me. And the next day we got in contact with Woody.
Mm-hmm.
And Woody got me into California and helped me with the problems that I had, right, with mm-hmm. which was addiction,
mm-hmm.
And helped me move into who I am today.
Mm-hmm. And how many years later was that?
10 years.
10 years.
Yeah.
And Woody, why did you feel it was so important to find Frankie?
Well, you know, he really had a big impact on me. I felt that the times, you know, he's a great raconteur, you know. He can tell a story like nobody's business. And he had a deep philosophy in life that was really, it was powerful for me.
Which was?
Well, his philosophy, I mean, he has a lot of philosophical directions he can take you with his philosophy. I can't sum up his overall philosophy.
Thank you.
I could, Frankie.
I'm just that broad.
Well, give me one. Now I'm very curious.
They're all interconnected. It's a universal cohesiveness that you can't actually separate one from the other.
Come on, help a fellow writer out.
Yeah. So having said that, I have no idea what his philosophy is, but it really didn't make an impact. And you know, we stayed in touch a little. We had a few phone calls, and then eventually, you know, he left Houston, and there was no forwarding, and there was no way to track him, so I did the kind of extreme measure of asking for him on Leno.
Was that your first attempt at trying to find him, or had you made other decidedly less public attempts to try to find him?
Yeah, I even hired a PI to look for him, who told me that if he was working, he wasn't using his Social Security, so we couldn't find him that way either.
So you used the megaphone of Jay Leno.
The megaphone, right.
So you find each other, and now you're working together. Talk about what it was like writing together, and how did that actually come about? Did you sit down in a room together to write, or did you send pieces back and forth through email, or how did you collaborate on this, the process?
Well, we sat down together most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, almost every time. You know, sometimes we'd write separately and then bring it to the other guy, and, you know, then it would shift from there. But, mostly we sat in a room and hammered away. Here's an idea, here's a joke, here's a way to fix that idea or fix that joke, you know, just back and forth.
And we're talking hours at a time?
Or days or weeks.
Days.
Yeah, I remember us going off for like a days at a time or a week even to just, like, you know, sit down and with this play and, you know, work it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Whose idea was it to have video and video of you know, President Reagan and Sally Ride and music from that time? Whose idea was that to interweave those elements into this play?
That was Woody's. The director.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And why did you feel that? What were you trying to do by doing that? Was it to set the scene, to put people back into that time in the 80s?
Yeah, I think it's a good way to kind of put you in that time frame, you know, with the videos and with the music.
Mm-hmm.
Really, you know, 1983 was an incredible year for music and just events that happened. It was a lot going on that year. So,
and it's really well done. It just supports the play. It helps the play,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't take away anything from the actual play. It mm-hmm. just helps it.
And before we run out of time, because I can't believe we're almost out of time. But Woody, at the start of the interview, you mentioned that this play was done in Toronto before coming to New York. Why did you decide to open it first in Toronto, and how has it changed between the Toronto production and the New York production?
Well, I always think it would be better to work a play a little bit outside of New York before you bring a play to New York. That philosophy has always been in my mind. It did change, you know, a lot of individual things, you know, like cutting this, that, and the other, or adding jokes here and there, and even cut out an entire scene. You know, a lot of stuff did shift from from the Toronto production to here. But one of the things that remained constant was getting Brando Coffee and David Coomer, who are two actors I was lucky enough to have in the production in Toronto, come down here and be a part of it. And they are, I guess I'd call them comic geniuses. So, yeah.
I was waiting for. I thought, Frankie, you were going. You were going to add something. But what? Really fast. What was this scene that was deleted from Toronto to New York?
Oh, it's a scene that Frankie is staying up late eating spaghetti, and you know, the other characters come into it. A couple of characters come into it, and it's like the night before he might be going to jail. So. It was a little bit of a poignant scene, but we didn't really need it.
Well, don't give away all of the play. You want people to see it. I've been speaking with Frankie Hyman and Woody Harrelson, who have co-written the play Bullet for Adolf, which Woody also directed. It's at New World Stages through September 9th. And thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you, Jonathan. Good to be here.